Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond, on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. And No Borders Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
May the 26th, 2013. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning for those of you in the Far East. I'd like to welcome the new station and listeners that is coming into the pack, into the fold, along the network, whatever you might call it, is No Borders Radio, and I'll be joining them on Tuesday evenings in Britain time, Tuesday afternoons American time, with my new show, which is going to be called Heart of the Matter, and we'll be simulcasting also with Turtle Island News with Tracy Kennedy and Two Dog. This will be a whole new experience. Plenty more content, plenty more listeners. We'll be simulcasting a lot of stuff with Wolf Spirit Radio and Revolution Radio, and it's one enormous and growing family. I'd like to welcome you all and thank you very much for coming. If you wish to ask any questions, please post questions in the chat room, wherever you're going to be, at Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond, or at Scotty Sons. I'll try to say it slowly. ScottishSovereignsOnTheLand.ning.com is the location at the moment of No Borders Radio. Eventually, it'll be on an appropriately named website to be announced. So, having done all of that, I'd like to also say that all of these stations are listener supported. If you're listening and you enjoy the content that we're giving, please do provide some form of exchange to us in the form of bitcoins or PayPal credits, or you could even send us some bucks in an envelope. There's a donate button on the on the Wolf Spirit Radio site and on Ever Beyond Info, and I think on Scottish Sovereigns. I'm not entirely sure if there's a donate button, but I'm sure any of them who are running the shows will be very happy to accept any donations in any form whatsoever. Tonight on Ever Beyond, I have a lovely guest. I met her a couple of weeks ago, and we immediately had a very interesting rapport through Dale Benedum's show. She has had positive contact with non-terrestrial humans, inner terrestrial humans, and inner terrestrial space. We're going to be talking about extraterrestrials. We're going to be talking about intraterrestrials. We're going to be talking about soul journey. We're going to be talking to Cindy Vandroff. Good afternoon, Cindy. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thanks so much, JP, for having me here.
You're very, very welcome. So hang on, I just realized that the volume's not particularly high there. So, lovely. Hello to everybody there and everybody there. And I've got the both chat rooms at the moment up on my screen at the moment, and the writing's a little too small. If you have questions that you'd like to contribute to the show with, then by all means put them in uppercase so that I can read them from a distance, which is where I am. You can also maybe later on we'll invite callers if that's appropriate, or if anybody wants to call in, we'll use the Wolf Spirit Radio number, call-in number. So, Cindy, how are you this afternoon?
I'm well, thank you. I am just really excited to talk about all of the topics that you named off, and here to expand people's horizons and to surely make those connections myself with people out there. So I can't wait what you have in store for us today.
Excellent. Well, it's actually what you've got in store for us. I mean, because it's like... Anyway, where do we start? Where shall we start? So tell the people a little about yourself, Cindy, the kind of, you know, did you wake up born? Were you born woken up? Was there an awakening moment for you? A moment when you suddenly figured out, hang on, this is not what they told us? Or were you just like always awake?
I would say a little bit of both. It was about when I was 5 or 6 when I realized that I wasn't like everyone else. And it was a wonderful experience, because knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have had it any other way. I've always had the ability to astral travel and to leave my body and to experience things that perhaps most people don't or have not yet. And so, yes, at a pretty early age, I was awakened to being in touch with my higher being, so to speak. And so the transition now into adulthood and all of the experiences that I've had in the last decade have brought me to this point in time where... I have experienced much more in a channeling aspect and medium work. Also, I have completely changed my business in the last 2 years to really helping people become awakened and to also help them reach a goal or a life purpose and to live an expansive life. So it's been extremely rewarding.
Oh, that's marvelous. So going back to the early years, you were 6 or so, and what were the kind of realizations you were having at that time?
That we are not limited beings; we are very unlimited. And I always, let's just say, my mother used to say, you know, Cindy, you are not like everyone else. There's something different about you. You don't think like everyone else. You seem to be limitless. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Limitless. That's quite interesting. That just made me think of it.
Yeah.
But I think because of the programming that we have instilled in us from our environment, from our genealogy, from several different aspects, as we know, environment seems to be just as important as genetics. But I really knew that I was different, and there was never any limits on me. I always knew that whatever I wanted to manifest, I could. And I grew up with a father that in his own life was limited because of either monetary reasons or because of non-support from family members, whatever it was. You know, he carried that with him. And so sometimes he would be limiting to what I thought I could do. And I was always ready for proving him wrong. It gave me quite a bit of a drive. I absolutely love him to death. And we are very, very close. But at the same time, I knew that I wasn't quite fitting in. And so that transformation, knowing that, and always having that, not necessarily reading about it or studying it, but just knowing, having that knowing, was very powerful in all of the creations I had in my life.
So, coming more into adulthood and you know, presumably leaving home and the limitations of home and all of those things, you got to a point when you struck out on your own. Did you start out immediately in a kind of life coachy sort of trainery sort of thing, or did you do regular jobs like
I did regular jobs. I paid the bills. I was in real estate for 12 years, then decided, it was cyclical, especially in California where was born and raised. And so I decided, I'm going to go out and try something different. What is something that will always be here? And funny enough, the last 10 years, my awakening has been so exponential that I look back and I'm thinking, what was I thinking? I went into
medical. You always do. Yeah.
I know. I went into medical and I studied English as my minor in college. And so I really thought, I can write. I have a lot to say, and of course you will know that in the next 2 hours. And so I decided to become an associate publisher of a medical journal. That's a far stretch, but because of my managerial skills and everything that I was doing, it just seemed to fit. And the person that had employed me, he said, here's the files, here's where you're going to learn everything, just learn. I am not teaching you. So he knew that I was a self-starter. So again, being out on the edge, really being capable of absorbing a lot of information, many, many traits that I have as a child, now I'm recognizing as a starseed and as a healer. And so it was amazing. And the reward there was that I was teaching people how to do their business better. And so here, right away, I'm already starting to fall into this last decade, because I've been doing this for about 15 years, and falling into this last decade where I'm actually helping people and I'm feeling this rewarding experience about helping others. And then, and at the time it was physicians. I was teaching physicians how to use lasers in medical practice and really being a guiding force to them performing better procedures. And in any industry, as we already know, you've got your good pool and you've got your bad pool or not so good pool. And it was really trying to change the way the perception was about quality care and really caring about your patients. So transitioning now into what I'm doing now, life coaching, and I have an amazing pool of life coaches. Every one of them are such amazing beings. And so if you can imagine collectively, we're healing and helping others. And it's not oversaid. It's very rewarding. And we know that we're making a difference and people are becoming awake within our presence. So this isn't just about life coaching in a way of making your life better, but the awakening process at the same time. And it's evolving every day. We're learning new modalities of how to help people become more aware of what's going on, not just politically or economically, but the real sense of where we come from.
Excellent. So those of us who have been listening to my shows and actually learning about the rays, I've been speaking to many people, and most of the time when I have a guest, I'll read a reading of the rays so that people can get a feel for the different kind of energies that come through different kind of people.
Wonderful.
And your rays, as we've spoken about before, are ray one monad, and that's that sense of being a starseed, it's like being like not from here, that a better way.
It's like breathing.
Yeah. Your ray two soul is absolutely down the line. You want to heal the world, and actually, it's not like a messiah complex. It is possible, you're part of the team that is healing the world. And you have a seventh ray personality, and the seventh ray personality combined, which is to do with technology. It's the Aquarian energy. It's the Aquarian age. It's this, everything seventh ray, and it's all about devices and techniques and all of that kind of stuff. So you're basically using those energies. I mean, you know anybody who's listening to you will absolutely know that you're totally on the path. You know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because you know the seventh ray will absolutely give you this sense of you know, we can do this with technology. We can heal with machines, Vega testers, bioresonance, and all of these stuff. And it's all about organization, which is again, you know, is forming groups and knowing how to run a group properly.
Agree.
Yeah. So, that's the general feel of a 127 will be somebody who is a healer, but not just necessarily one on one, but groups on groups. Very much like what Frank does. Now, Frank is a healer. He's been getting into crystals recently, but generally he's been working just with morphological fields and groups, and he does it regularly on Wolf Spirit Radio, and I hold his show once a week. It's quite fun. It's a nice way, because he's got a very high sixth ray energy, so that's he's a good energy to aspire to use good use of the sixth ray of devotion. So, but back to your 127, you'll have again this feeling that everything is, you know, people are being told what to do, and they're doing what they're told, even though it can be wrong and a lie and all of that stuff. So it's a very interesting thing to have when you're growing up, and so you've seen the world kind of, it's a bit like land rising out of the sea. You know, it's first of all difficult to see as it's coming up. You think, oh, what is this coming up under the water? Once it breaks the water and then starts to dry out at the top, you start to see what it is. This is like the Aquarian age as it's unfolding, and now it should be more or less completely exposed at this moment. What do you think?
Agree. It's an emergence, and that metaphor or that analogy that you just used was spot on. And it's funny, I've said this on Dale's show, that it wasn't until maybe a decade ago that I started talking to anyone about these experiences that I had growing up. I literally, and I know I've said this before, I thought for sure if I told anyone, I'd be put in a straitjacket. I came from a very aligned, very high-profile family that, you know, you stayed on this straight and narrow path, you know. In our terms, it was programming was everything. And to deviate from that was just, you know, you were a black sheep. And so, you know, I always was curious, and I was always seeking for greater knowledge about what it was that I was experiencing, and I got there. And the exciting thing is that everyone has these abilities to expand and to create and to really have this adventure with yourself.
So it's very I'm very honored to welcome you as this part of this soul group that is making sweeping changes.
I'm honored too. We obviously are here for a reason, and that reason is to collectively help others along and to help heal and to help nurture what it is that is our given right to experience.
Yes.
All of this hampering and suppression that we've gone through, we don't have to look back at that anymore. I know with Andrew's shows with you over the past several months, he's mentioned this. He's mentioned that we are extremely powerful, and to know, to have even a sense of that, even an inkling of that, is so empowering. And so I think that one of the main reasons why I was very interested in discussing this with you this afternoon, this evening, was that everyone's experiences collectively are going to make more people aware, more beings aware of what is possible and where perhaps all this is going.
Possible. Possibilities.
That's right.
Probabilities, things that are likely to happen, given our willingness for them to happen. You know, I think sometimes we're able to stop something from happening due to our unwillingness. You know, we have quite a lot of power in that way. It's negative.
Well,
power,
I think so. Creativity allows all of that too. And I have to apologize, there's a phone call going off right now. I'm going to put myself on mute, and you can add to that comment.
Sounds like you've got a weird case of the X-Files going on in the background there. So, now where were we? That completely threw my train of thought.
I apologize.
I just went into doodly.
And impromptu, so we have to appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, yes, where were we? Well, you know, what I was going to add to that is that, you know, the possibilities. One thing that I know about myself, and maybe you can expound upon this in the Monad groups, I am extremely creative, and creating is what makes me the happiest. And so when I look at movie producers and directors, and they're creating all of these movies that you can go to that perhaps are leading us in many ways to know exactly what is going to happen next, there are, you know, the sleight of hand, so to speak, where they're sharing with us perhaps the general population doesn't know, and they just think it's sensationalism, but actually there's a lot of truth to a lot of it. But what I'm getting at is they are expanding our knowledge and expanding the possibilities. And that is so very exciting to me.
Yeah, a lot of people go to movies for entertainment. I go like, oh, this is the next training film.
Hey, there you go. You know. Yeah, and there's been quite a few of them lately. Ooh-wee.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I think... you know, that's what my teacher was saying. You know, a lot of the movies that have come out over the last 60 years have been training films for them. You know, for the avatars, for the you know, the representation of the future. You know, the patterning of the future, and this is what this soul group is about. It's about creating new patterns. And patterns of right relationship, for instance, of being able to have an interaction that is creative, that doesn't hold any, you know, boundaries or limitations or contracts. You know, it's not like, you know, we did this once, so we have to do it again forever. It's just like, yep, that was good. You know, maybe we'll do that again, but not, you know, whatever, if it's appropriate. So the way that people are going to relate to each other is going to be on a whole different basis. As the more we realize that we are one, and that, you know, people aren't necessarily as special as we think they are. Am I making sense to you?
Absolutely. And what I would add to that is perhaps not special, but in the same right, divine. And maybe... instead of limiting ourselves, we need to start thinking that we are divine, that we have so many possibilities and so many opportunities. And, you know, all of the forces that create this yin and yang, we've talked about this, the yin and yang, the good and evil and all that, we have a choice. And, you know, along with free will, we have a choice to make this go right. And the more people, the more beings and the more unity consciousness that we have the ability to change all of the things that we are circumstantial right now, in on the planet and otherwise. I mean, I feel that there is something coming very soon, and it's just gnawing at me right now. And we've talked about this, where I'm getting messages now on a daily basis, and the urge or the necessity to share is becoming pinnacle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I think this is one of the reasons that this show is here, basically. This show is for messages from beyond, messages from the future, messages from our guides. I started off with mine and then everybody joins in, you know.
Yes.
And there's lots of people who are doing that already, but it's a sort of be a good clearinghouse. Anyway, so what I'm kind of sidling up to is, would you be happy to share any of the later insights or any of the let's say the more formed formulated insights that you've kind of integrated from those messages. Does that make sense? Things that you've worked through.
Sure. May I digress a little bit first?
You may go wherever you like.
Well, the reason why I say that is, we had the meeting in Washington, D.C., which was obviously a real pinnacle point for many to get information out to the general public and about ufology and all, you know, everything related to extraterrestrials and so forth. And I have to say, at an early age, I was just so interested in all of that. That's probably the research that I did more before getting into self-realization. Was, you know, what is this out there? I always fascinated with stargazing and planets and everything like that, which would lead one to believe in the capacity now as an adult that obviously that probably is more home to me than being on planet Earth. And it's not as far-fetched anymore, especially with what we're learning about. But, ETs, UFOs, all of that has been so interesting to me, captivating over the years. And then actually seeing one and going certain places to find them and having experiences on mountaintops that the average person probably wouldn't expect to have, meaning interaction or hearing something, knowing that it's not my voice. So just examples of that. So leading into now, in the last, I would say, probably the last 3 years, I've really honed in on becoming more awakened, thinking about how this all correlates with me inside and the planet outside. And so what has happened is I've researched a lot about UFOs, ETs, quantum jumping, the quantum leap, whatever you want to call it, astral travel, all of those things, along with understanding chakras, understanding the higher self, all of these topics that lead to one's awakening process. And I've started to experiment on things that resonated with me. I started using a pendulum. The pendulum led to a knowing where I didn't need a pendulum, chills, you know, getting the chills when talking about things, knowing that that's truth. obviously with the Monad One group, truth being being exceptionally important. And so most recently, my dreams have become more fluid, and I feel that they are not just dreams, but I've actually gone places. I've experienced things with other beings. And so now the last 3 to 4 months, there has been a huge shift where I physically know that I've gone other places. I can remember all of my experiences, what is told to me, and most importantly, things about the future. The future as we see right now in, what would you say, May 2013. We can talk about that, and I think you have, JP, where, you know, there are all sorts of interdimensional beings that are interacting with us and other dimensions that are going on all at the same time. And time, you know, obviously is a questionable thing. What is time? But so many people have been really focusing on 11-11, then it was 12-21, that something just magically would poof, like, you know, a light switch or the snap of the fingers, that something was going to change. And, you know, and that in itself, time being so many different things to so many different beings, us here in 3D, 4D, 5D, wherever you are in your awakening process, and then those that are interdimensional, and seconds are years to us. So us expecting things to happen in any specific time frame is really not alignment with everything that's going on at once. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it seems that, like you say, you know, their perception of time, you know, you can't really communicate time. It's a bit like, you know, they're trying to tell a goldfish, you know, you're swimming in water. But the sense of being, it's like, once you accept the idea that it's possible that we're not alone, which is where still a lot of people are. Once you can accept the idea that we're on a planet among billions, whole clouds, planets that are like droplets of in a cloud,
a speck of sand,
and that, how can we possibly be unique? How can we possibly be so arrogant as to believe that we're unique? No, it's a total impossibility. Once you get beyond that and step back and say, right, okay, well, if that's possible or that's true, what are the effects of that? And then you think, right, well, you know, I see in nature, I see a daisy, and then I see a sunflower. So I think, you know, I see a forget-me-not, you know. So basically flowers can occur in all different sizes. And then you look at, a shrew and a hamster and a mouse and a rat. And, you know, the same creature, but in different sizes. And one goes on. So there are stars, and they're all in different sizes and different colors. And then there are planets all in different sizes. So everything has a similarity about it, that, you know, the galaxy looks like a solar system. The solar system looks like an atom. The atom, you know, is a gravity generator. A gravity generator looks like a solar system. You know, there's all this self-similarity. And
almost like a roadmap, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, once you allow yourself to see the patterning of the universe, It's like knowing, instead of seeing an ocean of letters, mm-hmm. it's like knowing that, well, when we see letters arranged in this form, we call that a paragraph. And then then they're arranged with gaps between them. That calls them words. And then there's this little tiny thing at the end of a group of them, and that's called a sentence. You know, once we begin to parse reality in the same way that we parse English, or that we parse a computer program, once we're able to do that, then our ability to master the world around us, and that doesn't mean dominate, but just master ourselves by understanding where we are, rather than being in a state of confusion. You just see the universe in its glory.
That's lovely, and it's so true. And I think, you know, there are a lot of circles around me that I, circles of people that are starting to grasp this and talk about it. And now you're hearing, well, does time really exist? And is time going to come to a stop where there is no time? And all of this is concepts, obviously, to better understand exactly how this all meshes together. But where I was going with all of this was the fact that these messages that I'm getting are, and we can get further into what the messages are, but what I'm getting is there's something very imminent. But then I have to really think about my own programming and my own, you know, 4D, 5D position. And is that weeks? Is that months? Is that years? Is that decades? Or is that seconds? And that, you know, being the person that I am, where I really want to know the answers, it's extremely frustrating, because I'm thinking, let's get on with the show. Let's do this.
That's right. You want to know.
I can't wait to unleash all of this knowledge and to help all of the people in this world that are so stricken with either disease or malnutrition or not having enough money to actually live. All of these constraints that have been put on us. And so I just feel such an urgency to be able to help. So, you know, coming here today is really more not about being up for scrutiny, but sharing what it is that I'm seeing so that maybe it makes sense and catapults others into this domino theory of unity consciousness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because we need to be able to just kind of, I keep trying to find the right words for doing this, because maybe this, because this, you know, doesn't happen much, but it's a way, you know, of stepping back and embracing everything, rather than dividing ourselves. I mean, I'm looking at all these chat rooms, and there's the talk of dualities and unity consciousness, and so are there any ways you can? All right, okay. So I'm going to wind back again. That a unity consciousness is the way that the galactics think, isn't it? They don't see an us and them so much. They realize that the universe is one, and that everything's part of the one.
Well, and yes, and I think the other thing too to keep in mind is that they are allowing us to evolve. It is very obvious to me with all the data out there in our like-minded circles that we are not a what would you call it, a superior species compared to others out there in other galaxies. And there's a reason for that. I mean, this is all about ascension. This is about, well, it's about many things. And I'm just being very careful about how I approach this, because I want the possibilities to be out there for anyone that's listening. And so as far as unity consciousness, I believe that there is a prime source, and I believe that the intention is that we get back to source, and that in that evolution is a wonderful journey. The possibilities are endless, and just like watching a play, you marvel in the ability of those actors up on that stage to perform so eloquently. And as human beings, we have flaws and we learn and we get better at what we do. Technology, being human, being loving, being anything. And so, yes, unity consciousness, allowing, I think that's the word, is allowing the process and realizing that we don't have to control everything, that this was all a very well laid out plan, and it's time for us to get back to loving ourselves and to realize the divine nature within each of us. And so this type of platform that you've created here, and many others are starting to create, we're drawn to doing this, and there's a reason for it. And it's to collectively raise that frequency and raise the light within all of us in order to ascend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just lovely to be able to facilitate it. It's like, you know, everything that I've always done in my life, you know, I've always recorded things, you know, people mm-hmm. will know, you know, anybody who knows me, you know, I always, even when I was a kid, you know, that's always sad. Used to walk around with a cassette recorder, you know, recording mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. That's really handy. And then, I learned how to not only record, but also edit, which then gave me the ability to create a program, you know, and create jingles and voiceovers and doing all that kind of thing.
Create.
I can't
not. We are infinite beings. That's what we do. We will always do infinitely.
Excellent. Yeah. So you know, because people say, oh yeah, what do you do? What do I do? I do loads of things, and yeah. At the same time, you know, most of the time I do what I do. And I enjoy the things that I do because, number one, I'm good at them because I've done them for so long, and the other thing is that I'm always learning because I'm always making. I'm either making the same mistake, or I'm learning new mistakes. And what's funny is that I might have mastered something, but then somebody comes along and they're watching me, and they're kind of, you know, learning off me. And I've found that learning is a kind of cut and paste exercise. It's not a copy and paste exercise. And, mm-hmm. I find that sometimes I'll have a knowledge or an ability, and I'm showing somebody and they get it. And literally they've got it and I haven't got it anymore and I have to relearn it. I make the same mistake. It's a really bizarre process.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Well, you know, like I said, we're human. Again, another cliche that is so spot on.
Being human, human that's being.
Right. So this urgency that we spoke about earlier today and led to really wanting to share this with others. There's this urgency. We're talking about, as far as the messages that I'm receiving, it's about planetary alignment. It's about something that will be transforming or that will be worldwide. I'm really tired. It's very laborious for me to listen to all of the upsets that people are saying about devastation and world disaster and this and that and all this fear mongering that goes on within our media and around us. And I don't see it that way. I don't see that we're coming to an end. I think that we're just getting better and we're having the ability with access to better technology, access to further enlightened beings from other dimensions, helping us, aiding us when it comes time. But there's something upon us and I think that part of it has to do with not being told from a government aspect or NASA. You know, we've got all of these whistleblowers that talk about all the details of things that are to come and that the general population doesn't know about it because they're being hidden. And we see movies. I mean, I don't want to go into fear mongering, but I think of the movie Deep Impact. Have you seen that or know about it?
I know about it. This is the comet going straight into the side of the planet scenario, yeah?
Correct, yeah. Correct.
Because there's various scenarios about these the whole cometary collision thing.
Correct.
I have my own vision that I experienced once.
Well, I'm hoping that you're going to share that in detail because this is so... analogous to what we've been talking about, and I think it will give me some insight as well at the same time as how to deliver my messages that I've been receiving at the same time. So
okay, well,
let's
run this one by you. It was during I won't go into enormous detail about how it all happened. It was during one of Rebecca Jernigan's programs a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and I was just in a very playful mood that night, and instead of just we were trying to be orbs, we were trying to orb out of our being us during this record while they're playing the music in the break. And all go to Donna's garden where she had a camera set up that she was going to photograph the orbs. And we did this, you know, over a period of months. And there were some really cool orbs that appeared in her garden at that time. And she photographed them. And, you know, we were trying to think, oh, I wonder which one is me. Anyway, so this one night, I was feeling, you know, we'd been doing this for a few months, and it was just like, you know, I was just dancing, you know, just bobbing around like an orb, you know. And so this one night, I thought, oh, I wonder if I can make a trail with my orb. So instead of just being an orb, I can make a line, like a draw, you know. I just went, Vit. Oh, yeah, hey, how was that? Sort of writing in the neon light, you know. I'll make a rainbow trail. So I, you know, sort of drew around and then I make it rain. So I thought, oh, cool. So I thought, oh, I'll make a triangle. Boom, boom, boom. I thought, oh, that's really cool. You know, this triangle of light, rainbow colors, like toothpaste, you know, in the hovering in the air. I thought that's pretty cool. So I thought, right, okay, make a tetrahedron. So, zipped around, zip, 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 zip. And what was weird is that at the point that I made the tetrahedron, which is the pyramid with a triangle base, so it's triangles on all sides, mm-hmm. and as soon as I made it, it went kind of bling, 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 bling. It was like a visual echo. It kind of, I have no other ways of describing it. Just in the same way that an audio echo is like audios of the, you know, of the sound, sort of receding into the distance. It's like an early, I don't know, it's an early, I don't know if it's an early CGI, like a Doctor Who CGI. Anyway, so there was like a tiny, a smaller and smaller and smaller and more smaller tetrahedron fading into the distance and a bigger and bigger and bigger one. So it's like sending out ripples,
sonar.
Yeah. Like that, sonar or radar, but ripples in all directions of bigger and smaller tetrahedrons. So it like going, it kind of snapped into existence. And I thought, oh, that was weird. I didn't make it do that. You know, remember, I was just an orb trying to make a trail. So I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And so this thing, you know, was sitting there sort of, and it was now kind of going, rum, 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 you know, humming a bit like it was like idling like a well-tuned motorbike or something like that. Rum, rum, rum. And so I thought, oh, that's cool. Now I've got lots of the form, which is called Metatron's Cube, the Merkaba. So I thought, well, So I thought, I'll just set this one in motion. I just started it spinning very slowly. I'll get there in the end, by the way. This all happened. This whole process that I'm going through happened in the space of 3 or 4 minutes. It was all very 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Boom, 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 boom.
It's putting it into words when it's indescribable.
I know. Anyway,
and
so
I'm sure you can see it happening right now as you're describing it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to follow along, and I think I see it.
Okay.
I
so imagine you're in a garden, and there's a glowing pyramid of 4 or 5 feet off the ground that is about, say, 3 feet on a side. So it's quite, you know, yeah. And it's made of rainbow light, and it's now slowly rotating like a top, you know, with the point, rotating around the point that's at the top there. So anyway, it's slowly rotating like that, very slowly. And I thought, wow, how cool that is. I wonder if I could make another one. So I zipped around, made another one, ping, and made that then spin. And that one was upside down, pointing towards the first one. So now you're looking at two pyramids, one point downwards, made of rainbow light, that are then spinning in opposite directions to each other.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, that's cool. I wonder if they'll go together. So I pushed them together. I pushed the top one down into the first one. At which point, there was a flash of light. And I found myself sitting in a spaceship.
Wow.
And I thought,
don't leave us hanging at that point. I want to hear more. don't be like all of those movies and just leave me hanging, okay?
Continued next week on Ever Beyond. Anyway, I'll have to find. I actually made a theme tune for a sci-fi, which is. It was just for the recordings that we did, but Alex Collier has a series of books that we did a promotional interview for, and I made a little theme tune for him. I'll try and dig that out later on. Anyway, brothers and sisters, where were we? We were...
You were in the spaceship.
I was in a spaceship, and it was such a surprise. You know, like that. Just a minute, I was in somebody's garden here at that, you know, so I thought, oh, all right. Now, when was it? I think it was in... This must have been 2011. 2010, 2011. Anyway, so at this point, I'm thinking, well, here I am in a spaceship. Where shall I go? What shall I do? And I thought, let's, you know, zip around the moon or something like that. I can't remember exactly what I did first. But very quickly, the thought occurred to me is like, why don't I look for the comet? You know, and I just said the comet. I didn't think, Comet Elenin or whatever it was. And I thought, where can I see it? You know, it's not, is it going to pass by the Earth? Is, you know, are we going to see it as, you know, I was just wanting to see the comet in the sky, safe distance away from the Earth, kind of doing its nice tail thing, you know, as you do. Anyway, so I thought, well, if I'm in a spaceship, then I'm in a particular, I'm in a position of just like infinite possibilities. So if possibilities are infinite, let me just think, well, can I go forward in time? Yeah. Okay, then. Take it forward in time to when I thought that this comet was going to pass by the Earth. Anyway, here comes the good bit, right? So I'm in the spaceship and I'm looking at the Earth, and I'm looking at, and there's this planet that is massive. And it looks like, you know, those the SOHO space weather photographs of the sun. You ever seen those?
Yes.
There's one that's a kind of orange. The color of this was a deeper red color that was more like I was trying to, it's like, well, we have them here in Britain. I don't know if you have, do you have kebab shops?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they have a gas grill that, you know, this Doner kebab sits in front of.
Yes.
Yeah. The color of that. Heat. Yeah, but looking like that Soho picture of the sun, so a deeper red, and it passes by the earth. As it passes by, I hear the words iron filings.
Say that again?
Iron filings.
Okay.
Iron filings, which are, for those who don't know what iron filings are, they're tiny, tiny pieces of iron, like dust, iron dust, if you like. You get that from, you know, from filing, from filing iron with a file, and basically it's a powder that is, if you put a magnet near a pile of iron filings, the iron, the pieces will leap up because they're tiny, they're very light, so they'll jump up towards the magnet very, very readily. So that was the metaphor that was being sent. But I realized, you know, when you're talking on a sort of planet wise level, iron filings could be something as large as a bus or an aircraft carrier would still look like iron filings from space. So this enormous magnet comes by the Earth and pulls iron filings off it as it passes, leaving the earth cleansed. I then heard the word cleansing. Then I realized that the music was ending. And so, having witnessed this thing, you know, it passes by the earth, it passes by, you know, it doesn't stop. I mean, it doesn't crash into us, but it does pass by us very closely. And that was about the end of it, because the music, I could hear them, then the music was starting to finish, and so I needed to come back into the garden, and then all back into my body, and come back into my chair and stuff like that. So that was the end of that little story.
And the cleansing. So what do you receive from that in any depth?
Well,
iron filings and the cleansing. What do you think that means?
Well,
seeing Earth? I mean, were you literally seeing Earth and this other?
Yeah, I was seeing a very large magnetic body, a single monopole, pass by Earth. As it passed by, it drew things up. Big metal things. It drew them up towards it. I also think that if that's what I... Okay, so that's what I saw in this vision, right? Now I've done lots of research. You know, I've discovered there's a thing called the red dwarf, or the brown dwarf, or Nibiru, or Wormwood, or the red Kachina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, the red Kachina is a prime candidate for what I was looking at. Because that's exactly, you know, when I read the description of the red Kachina and the word cleansing came up.
Cleansing.
Mm-hmm. I just thought, because they call it the great cleanser, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So I hear that. I see that. And I thought, that's an interesting thing. Now, that doesn't mean the end of humanity. That doesn't mean the destruction of the planet. It just means cleansing. And, you know, maybe we need to, you know, I've got an iron roof.
Oh, my.
But here's the thing. If this is a magnet, and it is, as we imagine, many people have said, it's a north pole. It's a monopole, which means it's all north. The south is on the inside. The north is on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
That this is an enormous brown dwarf star, which is basically a rather hot ball, well, you know, sort of molten, glowing ball of iron. That's the theory, anyway. or maybe a bauble of iron that is still very hot with a plasma ball inside. Anyway, long story. That if this is a large iron thing, what will happen if it goes past? I had a dream, I can't remember, maybe about a year ago, and maybe about 18 months ago. Anyway, within this dream, I'm outside, and suddenly the sun goes, it drops right out of the sky. You know, it doesn't set, it drops. You can see it visibly moving out of the sky. And in my dream, I think to myself, ah, brown dwarf, stay calm. And obviously everybody else is freaking out, but I know what's going on. And you see, because if a brown dwarf, if this scenario is as I think it is, if the brown dwarf is between us and the sun, we here certainly in northern Scotland at the I'm 3 degrees from the Arctic Circle, so I'm pretty far north. Mm-hmm. If the Earth it will tilt as this planet approaches, and it will tilt really quickly as it draws the south magnetic pole towards us, towards it. It will then drag us by. It will then tilt us around and then go along its way. And what happens after that is, I believe that the sun, well, the planet will kind of rock around. I think it's already rocking. I think the sun is rising in weird places, but anyway.
Many people have mentioned that, by the way.
Have they?
Yeah.
I think you may only notice it in the north here, you know, because there aren't many people in the far south. They see weird things in the far south. But anyway, so as this thing goes by, it kind of, it's a bit like, you know, something in a cartoon when the car goes really fast, hits the duck, and the duck is kind of swiveling around and spinning around and finally comes to a halt. I think that's what's going to happen to the Earth, is it's going to be kind of swirling around a bit. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to slosh, you know, that oceans are going to slosh around. But that might happen, I don't know. There is the idea of the global coastal event. Now, that was today, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes. sorry, I remember Cliff High was saying May the 26th was his day. Was he going to do the washing today? Oh, well, I wonder how he's doing. But he's been predicting the global coastal event, which is, you know, when there are waves or something that wipe out the coastal districts, which is where everybody lives.
Right. That's a huge theory that goes along with this tipping point for the Red Kachina and the tilting of the Earth, and much like a fishbowl, things are going to have to give way, and water being much more pliable than earthen territories. So, yeah, and then you see all of the maps that many of the
Gordon Michael Scallion and all that.
Yeah, that the Mississippi is going to basically divide the continent into quarters. And you see a lot of government activity that's now along the Mississippi. And then we've got the fracking, and we've got all these things going on where things are unstable. So, yes, those are all possibilities. But what I'm gathering from what you're saying, and please, you know, respond, and that is that we really need to focus on this enlightenment and getting everyone on the same page in order to keep this process going in our evolution instead of sitting here thinking that this is all going to be for naught. I just refuse that to see it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I things that I do need to have some sense of permanence. Although here I am talking in digital data bits that are just flowing out of the ends of people's computers. But, I think we need to take a break because it's the hour past. And what I wanted to do, would you be happy that I played one of those tracks that you sent me?
Yeah, I would love it.
Could you describe to me, to the audience, what the tracks are about?
Sure, absolutely. It's about enlightenment and becoming empowered about who we are and where we're going. And the music is in 432 hertz, which is the nature frequency. So it's our 3-CD collection that is for meditation and relaxation and just getting more in tune with nature and going with the flow.
Okie doke. This is Liquid Media, Higher Consciousness Instrumental, it says here.
Thank you.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
Doobie-doo. Sorry about the dead air, folks. I didn't hear the thing finish. So, welcome back to Ever Beyond. I hope that didn't take too long. Didn't last very long when I was off the air. Cindy, are you still with me?
Absolutely.
Jolly good. Was it long before since the music finished?
About a minute or two.
Oh, wow. Well.
Not bad.
Well, anyway, so those are the instrumental, or that's one of the instrumental versions of the track. I'll play another one at the end of the show, which is the one with you on it.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway,
that's okay. You know, it's really fun hearing this. Not by me putting it on, you know, a player myself, but listening to it. And now it's going to be even more powerful that after we speak to hear the lyrics of Higher Consciousness, because it's exactly what we're talking about. So it'll all work out.
Great.
As it always does.
I'll be downloading it as we speak. And, when it's downloaded, I'll put it into the player and we'll put it in. Put it on later on, towards the end of the program. So tonight I'm speaking with Cindy Van Droff, and we are discussing, amongst other things, extraterrestrials, intraterrestrials, galactic consciousness, ascension, and what it's like to move from one side of the country to another. I moved from one end of the island to the other a few years ago, and you moved from California to Florida.
Yes, indeed. And what an experience it has been living in California for the last several decades. I won't say how many. And moving to a completely different environment has been a wonderful experience. I love travel, so experiencing new people, new food, new surroundings, it doesn't get better than that.
Wonderful. And what part of Florida are you in?
Daytona Beach.
Daytona Beach, is that right? I have no idea.
It's on the eastern seaboard, and it's central Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're right out on the Atlantic.
Correct.
Wow, okay. Good, good. Right. Well, I'm on the other side, facing the other direction. Actually, I'm on the north, the north end of Scotland, and the south side of the Murray Firth coast. It's lovely.
It's beautiful there. Yes, it is.
Lovely, lovely place. And I do encourage people to come, and you can pitch your tent in the garden. I don't know.
I was going to say, you don't profess that unless you're ready for a bunch of knocks at your door. But all they have to do is look it up on a map and see see some of the photographs there, and you will have knocks on your door. So a whole lot of them.
It is a tiny piece of heaven. But if everybody was here, it wouldn't be heaven anymore. You have to remember that. Visitors. Anyway, this is actually where I am is just on the other side from Plus Garden Abbey, which has been here a long time. And so I am in a kind of sacred area zone. You know, it's not been here for no reason. There's a portal near here, so they say. So I'm told. Yeah. So, Cindy.
Yes. Back to, I want to finish this.
Well, I want you to read the Kachina. Yes, the red Kachina and my story of the thing and the poles and all this stuff. So, how far was that from what you? Well, I mean, why not you express your parallel experience of this same thing?
Well, it is a correlation. I can tell you that. And the message that has been coming through is planetary alignment. And a lot of what we've heard about the pole shift or tipping point, there are many theories, but it's all based on where the planets are. And the last several evenings, I've been receiving notification off planet that this is imminent and this is coming very quickly. And so when you look into what has been in the general media about all of these sightings in Russia, I think there was even one in Northern California of particles falling, obviously, from the atmosphere. And I do believe that those are omens. That's what I'm hearing. Much far past that, you know, I can go into some of the astral travel that I've had and things that have become very, very evident to me. But, you know, you were talking about what the red Kachina looked like as it started out and then as it passed by. That is very similar to what I'm receiving. And that is that when the message has been delivered, I wake up abruptly, and that message still comes through after I'm awake. It's almost like this nudging that I'm physical nudging that I'm getting from our friends. And followed by that is me waking up, opening my eyes, but as I close my eyes, my third eye appears, and I am able to see that red ball of iron, of fire, and it is not a fearful thing. It is something that is evidently going to cleanse and to bring us into a higher elevation of consciousness.
So you're seeing the red thing?
Oh, yes, the red thing.
And it's bigger than the Earth, isn't it?
Oh, it's massive. It's really funny interesting how when you are capable of leaving this small planet, you know, we learn about that in school. We learn about how big the planets are. And Earth is very tiny. And when one begins to astral travel, you realize how much is out there. And this large, I want to say entity, you know, it's alive just as everything
oh,
else
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah, being.
There's a consciousness of it itself. And it's huge. And I feel that it represents that consciousness that is being delivered to us and part of us.
So, all right, when you mentioned earlier omens, right? Now, I had a conversation, as I mentioned earlier, with Alex Collier. And he was, you know, had this very great sense of urgency as well. And he was saying that this is imminent arrival time. Basically, you know, there's a solar system that's coming through and it's dirty. You know, it's full of...
particles.
Yeah, iron. Pieces of iron that are schlepping around behind it that haven't quite caught up with the planet. Because it's going fast. It's whizzing around
those
like...
Those wings that we talk about that you're having.
That's right. It's the wings. It's like a coma of the comet, but it's the detritus, and the thing is that there are particles that are ahead of it, and that's what, you know, we're seeing as meteors, I think.
Agree.
So we're seeing all this stuff, and then I'm looking at all. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cindy.
JP, what did he say about Omen? Tell me how that ties into what I said and what he said.
Well, he was saying that Wormwood or Nibiru or Planet X or whatever it was going to be. Basically, there was this video that had been put together from an astronomer or an astrophysicist sort of audio blog, James McCanny, and it had been edited, actually, and it made it sound like there was, you know, it actually said the story of what appears to be happening. Alex sent that to me, and then he said, look, I owe you an interview. Let's do an interview today, and we'll be done with it. So, obviously, he's been contacted by his peeps and saying, you know, get this out, you lazy, you know. And so he contacted me, and you know, we did it that afternoon. You know, it was really 1, 2, 3 things going on. That's essentially what he was saying, that there's a solar system coming through our solar system, hot and fast. It's going to whack by, it's going to make a mess. It's going to be meteors.
What I gather from that, you know, again, we can be fearmongers and fearmongering and saying, oh, this is going to be devastating, cataclysmic, all this.
Mm.
But at the same time, you know, the theme nowadays is going within and really raising your vibration. And, you know, the ascension process is, you know, becoming light, much like the orbs that you had so much fun with.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing ourselves to go with this versus being friction ourselves in the process. And that's why all of the circles around all of us right now and within us is the fact that we need to raise our vibration, we need to raise our frequency. There is an evolution here of consciousness where everyone is raising their awareness level. And I'm not too sure if I believe that there is not enough consciousness or awareness out there or awakening for us not to survive this.
I think humanity will survive. I think there will be plenty of humans left. I think really, you know, it's like if you stay with everybody else, then you're probably not in a good position. But if you get the call and you hear and you heed the call, I think, you know, everybody might get the call, but not everybody heeds the call. Mm-hmm. And it might be just something like, oh, go and see your sister in, you know, Colorado, or somewhere very high up, you know.
All of DC has dispersed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, for no disconnected reason, you know. And that's really what it's about. It's about being able to remain in the moment so that you can be, if you're standing in a place where something is going to go, and you get a feeling to go elsewhere, and you follow that, then you are following your destiny, and you survive. But if you ignore what your soul tells you to do, which is normally, you know, get the heck out of here, as soon as you can, then I think it's worthwhile to take heed of your own urges, you know, even if they seem random or stupid.
Free will.
Yeah.
Free will, and who's to say if someone doesn't make a different choice? Let me tell you, it was really funny. About 3 years ago, I was still in my home in Laguna Beach, and I've lived in Laguna off and on for the last 20 years, Laguna Beach, California, and it's a huge destination for vacationers. There's only a few months out of the year that it's really the hometown people's to enjoy, but it's lush beaches. It looks like you're in the Caribbean. It's so beautiful. And we have huge banks coming up the sides of the hill above the ocean, above the beaches. And so, you know, when we had these tsunami warnings a couple years ago, people were thinking, well, I'm just going to walk up the street because we have enough clearance there that we're going to be safe. If the people were on literally on the cliffs, they may not be as safe. But the point was, is I had a 70-year-old neighbor, Tom, great guy. He's lived in Laguna since the 60s. And we started having a conversation about the end of days and tsunamis and all of these things that we're talking about now. And he says, you know, I've lived a full life. I love where I live. I'm not going anywhere. And here my comment to him right away was, oh, not me. I'm getting to high ground. I refuse to just succumb to anything. But at the end of the day, in the last 3 years, my view on that has changed significantly. And it's about the going within and the awakening process and really understand what this whole thing is that we're going through. It's not just about the 3D, and that sure, we've been incarnated into these bodies and into these experience, the human experience, to live out lessons. And because of all of the information that I've learned in the last couple of years, I am so content with whatever it is that this journey is now. And there is such a there's such a peace about it. And I think that's very important to share with others, that there are so many rewards when you do start to have that relationship with yourself.
Yeah, again, it goes back to this word of allowing. And I noticed that you've been using it, and I don't know if there's a better term for it, because allowing seems like it's too passive, but it's, well, it's
the people in doership, it is.
Yeah,
but I've been a control freak all my life, trying to change things or do things differently. And I met someone in Mount Shasta a couple years ago, and he said to me, you're a power tripper. He says, let go. All of this has been planned. This is a well laid out plan, and it's all going extremely well, and you don't have to worry about a thing.
Yeah. No need to, there's no hurry. And this is the attitude that I've been trying to cultivate in the last couple of years, is I'm in no hurry. And maybe it's a negative phrase by saying no hurry, but I don't know if there's a better way of putting it, but I'm looking at not pushing myself or anybody else, not having that nasty little urgent feeling.
Right.
It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, I think perspective changed a lot of that for me, because like I said, I was a power tripper trying to change things or trying to push my way. And now it's more about being in the moment. And if that day comes that I am not one of those chosen people to be wherever it is that I either survive or whatever, then the really cool thing is in the enlightenment process, I know that I'm never ending. So there you go.
So it doesn't matter whether you're on the beach when a great big wave comes, or whether you're on the mountain when the great big wave comes. Either way, it's part of your destiny. One way or another, you're going to ascend anyway.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I'd like to ascend with my body. I mean, that is part of the idea of ascension for what we're hearing now of this incarnated group of starseeds, is that we're learning about awakening to the point of being able to control the density of light of our bodies, and to take our bodies instead of, and it cracks me up. I don't know if you've ever heard of Abraham Hicks. Have you ever heard about those teachings?
Yeah.
Well, Abraham always says, it's really amusing to us that you are so worried about croaking. and they make light of it. They make light of that death is really so 3D, and that we make such a stink about it.
I know.
And I think that that's been a huge process of learning for me. You know, when I was a lot younger, I used to have dreams about cremation and waking up in the crematory as I'm being cremated.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to know that. I really don't want to die. And now looking at it and hearing just those words about, you know, we think it's hilarious that you're so concerned about croaking. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, perspective is everything. Savor every minute that you have, because all of these experiences are what bring you to be such an amazing being.
Thank you.
In the moment.
In the moment. In the moment. That's a very important thing. And I think it's becoming more and more important to be in the moment. And it can be quite easy to be sidetracked, tripped out into some, what I would call an astral, but what most people would call an emotional sidetrack, distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be that a false flag operation or some other situation that's going on, you know, in your personal life or in the life of the world. You know, we're being distracted for a reason.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that false flag distraction thing that seems to be rearing its ugly head more and more nowadays?
Well, you know, it's a way of crystallizing people, making them rigid you know, crystallization doesn't have to be in a regular, it doesn't necessarily be a good thing. And particularly when you're trying to deal with a fluid thing, you know, we really, I think, you know, we end up more like, you know, like a cat, liquid. Cats are liquid, aren't they? Then you can pour them into a jar or a bowl and they fit the thing. Be like water, my friend, you know, as I was saying before. So
in my former company, the Liquid Media, part that had evolved into Momentum Media, which is my current company. Wow. And I'm sure that there will be other spin-off companies from that, because there's so much that we're engaging in right now. But the whole intention behind the Trinity CDs was the conscious evolution and fluid living, Liquid Media, fluid living. And now the next step is, now that we're fluid, Momentum, my company Momentum, is life in motion.
Right. Everything is motion. So, can people get to a website of yours?
Absolutely. It's momentum33.com.
Momentumdoer33.com. Let me put that in the chat room now.
And if you, if anyone would like more of this music, they can email me at my email address, and we've got special offers for that music and wonderful little freebies that go along with the purchase of the CD collection. So I would love to get that out there further. It's been a transformational thing in itself, having that music available to really calm and soothe people. Stress is a huge thing in everyone's lives, and part of that enlightenment process is really to rid yourself of as much stress as possible. And that's not an easy task for many.
No, well, stress seems to be the natural way that a lot of people are living, but I can't deal with it. I mean, you know, I'm very sensitive to adrenaline. You know, not good for me. So, let's take another break, but this time we'll take a break with the right track, shall we?
There we go.
We have Cindy Van Droff with Higher Consciousness. So let's just pop that on here. And that's good, because I need to fix my teas over there, stop them boiling.
Who am I, you ask? Why am I here? You are a diamond with thousands of glittering, glowing facets. Your heart is the supreme and powerful intelligence of your soul. You are conscious at all levels and aspects of your life. Open and explore the wonders and glory within you and everywhere. Discover your golden angel within your heart. That is the divine self, who you really are. Are an unlimited spiritual being having the human experience. Live your life with ease, magic, and grace as the unlimited divine source that you truly are. You are the creator of your life. Expand your consciousness to create your new grand reality. Create and surround yourself with more beauty, joy, flow, love, and happiness. Thank you.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
And you're right, Rebecca. Thank you. This is Ever Beyond. This is JP. It's towards the end of May. We're waiting for Cliff's global coastal event. Who knows? Tonight's guest is Cindy Vandruff, who you just heard on the lyrics there, on the vocals. And so tell us a little bit about how that session happened.
Well, we, a group of us, were going to go to Mount Shasta for a spiritual journey. We were taking several people with us. And we were on our way up the hill to Shasta, and from the 5 freeway, which is a major corridor through California, you have to ascend, no pun intended, to the mountain for about 50 miles. And we were driving there late at night. It was about 1, 2 a.m. And all of my passengers were asleep. I was driving, and I started hearing this voice signaling me that I was home and that I was loved and welcome. And so we had planned to put this music out as part of our spiritual journey and sharing with others. But when we got to Mount Shasta, the lyrics just started flowing with all of our experiences. And so that's how that was created. Along our journey of higher consciousness became all of these affirmations and agreements with our higher selves that we are infinite beings having the human experience, and that it was worth sharing with people.
Excellent. So a lovely relaxing piece of music there. Now we promised people, Cindy, we promised them intraterrestrials. So let's talk about Talos.
Ah.
Yeah. Intraterrestrials.
One of my favorite topics. I guess that was a great segue. Thank you for taking that. Thank you for writing.
And now, over to our inner Earth correspondent, Cindy.
Oh, from editor to correspondent. I love it. So Talos is a city that's underneath Shasta, and there's a lot of enlightened masters there, and also part of the Lemurians that fled before Lemuria had its demise. And originally there were about 25,000 Talosians, and now there's 1.5 million. And without all of the dumbing down, so to speak, that we have on the face of the earth as humans, their species is much taller, several feet taller than us. They have a pale blue skin tone. And they live in harmony and protecting what it is that they know about their what we would call heritage and their of their kind. And the wonderful thing is that there is a lot of Mount Shasta people that don't even really get into the Talos or enlightened part of that whole village. They live in harmony with those that are of like-mindedness in the spiritual realm, but it's very evident who is and is not in that mindset. It's really interesting walking down the streets of Mount Shasta. It's a very quaint town, and a lot of people have gravitated towards there. There was a channeling done by Annette Sasu recently with Enlightened Master Adama, who is a high priest from Talos. And part of his message that was channeled through her was, if you have this urge to come to Shasta, If you feel that you have belonging there, or have you, if you visited and it feels like home, then you most certainly belong there, and that you probably have again a 3D word of roots that originate from that species or that group of beings, and that would include me. And now it's funny because Dale Benedum is on his way there, and he'll be there in probably 3 or 4 days.
Apparently, and, did he break down? Is he got himself fixed up again?
He has gotten himself fixed up, and I think he's moving out tomorrow back on the road from Needles. So he has about 800 miles to go. But, you know, along this journey of him and I getting to know one another through many of our networks, including Hollow Earth, it's been interesting that he's gravitating towards there, and that now we are speaking and learning more about what each of us know in that realm, and obviously off planet and from an awakening standpoint, that more and more people are wanting to go there. And it is known, Mount Shasta is known as the heart chakra of the planet, which is really quite cool. And so the Telosians actually are part of the Mount Shasta community. I have heard many stories about them mixing and mingling with the locals. I was going to put my son in private school up there, and they said that there were Telosian or Telosian children that were actually in the community. So it's another one of these emergence stories that we're hearing about, that we're starting to converge with things that perhaps were just make-believe or just fairy tales.
Absolutely.
And becoming reality.
Now, there's something I've heard about Telos, that there's a pyramid with a huge crystal on the top, and the crystal changes color during the day. And so you meet people at the hour of the blue or the hour of the yellow. Is that correct?
Absolutely. The energy on that mountaintop is absolutely, I've never experienced anything like it. I'm sure there's other parts of the world. They say Egypt is another area that's very similar to it. And I don't remember which chakra that's supposed to be. Do you know by any chance?
Everything changes. You know, some people say that the Shasta was the crown center, and that Glastonbury was the heart center. So there's all these different...
beats on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, you can have the heart center of a country might be a different chakra because it's on a different level.
Yeah, thank you. So yes, about the pyramids. And in fact, there is a group, and I'll have to do some research on this because it's been a while since I've talked about it and heard about it. But I do believe that there is another pyramid on the mountain that a couple actually looks after, and I'll get you more information on that. And once I have it, if you want to speak about it either live or share that information with your listeners, but Panther Meadows is a very interesting area up there that I've encountered, along with the Sister Trees, which is a Lemurian hotspot up there a lot of people don't know about, and then all the portals throughout the area that we have visited and have had amazing experiences. And I would invite as many people as possible to engage with that community and to visit it, because it's a treasure. It's a hidden treasure, and it's becoming much more vocalized with a lot of people doing meetings there and spiritual retreats. I know Andrew has one coming up in June.
That's right. Yeah.
Too.
So there's definitely a Mount Shasta Woods flow with our radio hosts and various other light workers. And I think, you know, I think there are times and places and points and things. And so far, I've not been drawn away from where I am. I believe that I'm here to stay where I am, so I'm here, and I'm staying where I am.
Part of your mission, my dear, because you are on the radio and you are getting information out there, and plus you have all these campers showing up soon, so you need to stay there.
Bring food.
It's going to become a state park.
Bring food.
Okay,
we have eggs.
That's their admittance.
Yeah, that's right. We have eggs. Bring a milk. I like milk and tea bags and bread for toast, preferably brown granary bread, but you know, at the very least wholemeal. Very least wholemeal.
Okay. You've heard it, everyone.
None of your white crap. So anyway, oh, and you know, I'll be growing things, but you know, bring bags of rice. You know, soy sauce.
What about the salad greens?
Oh well, hopefully I'll be growing them here, and we'll also be eating plenty of ground elder. I got a boy. We hired a boy yesterday to strim. Oh, what do you call it? A weed whacker. Strim the garden. I made sure that the next bunch of ground elder is going to be very fresh because we killed the last lot.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, it's good. That was fun. Not bad for a fiber.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a sweet young boy as well. Anyway, so yeah, So we're coming to the end of the program, Cindy, and it's been a delight to speak with you, and very informative. Lots of what I like about our conversation is that there's so many parallels of the things that you've studied and the things that I've studied. It is really like. This is exactly what it would feel like if you sent a soul group out to go and investigate something. A large number of people who all have the same mission, all coming back, realizing that it wasn't just their own mission. It was just everybody's.
Agreed. And I tell you, I am just fascinated with all of these doors that have been opening up with information that's really piecing together. It's like this fine group of puzzle pieces that just keep aligning. And I'm so blessed to be a part of that. I'm excited to help open doorways and to give that information out. So hopefully we can do this again.
That's brilliant. We certainly will.
Okay.
We certainly will. So please, give us your contact. How do people see you? It had 33 in it.
Momentum33.com, and my email address is cindy@momentum33.com.
And it's C-I-N-D-Y.
Correct. Yes. The old-fashioned spelling. There's many variations thereof, but yes.
How funny.
And so thank you so much for having me on, and I look forward to talking more with you.
Thank you so much. So we'll be joining Frank Jordan and his Earthmind think tank group just after this break, and this break is going to be, this is another band that has been at the this is a friend of mine's band. It's his name is I'm still stumbling over words. Protective Fences, and the song is called The Last Stealth Bomber. There we go. Thank you very much, Cindy. Cindy Vandross. Good night. Beyond.